Welcome to Home Sweet Home, hosted by Leslie Lovell and sponsored by Town Center Interior Design. Visit them at towncenterdesign.com. For the next 60 minutes, we'll talk interior design, fashion, cooking, outdoor living, and so much more. Now, let's bring on the host. Here's Leslie Lovell.
Well, hello, and welcome to Home Sweet Home on this beautiful Wednesday morning at 11 a.m., and we are so happy to be here today. Hope all of you are doing well out there. We are not just going to talk about interior design today, even though our commercial says we are. We have a very special guest in our studio this morning, but I also want to introduce our co-host, Andrea Chestnut, today. She's going to be helping us along with the interview. And I want to introduce Massachusetts State Representative Jeff Sanchez this morning. Welcome, Jeff. How are you today?
Thank you so much, everybody, for having me on today.
Well, thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
It's lovely to have you here. I know we've prepared some questions and talked about what we'd like to talk about today. And can I start with the first question?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. First thing I want to say is, what brings you here to Nevada today?
Well, I'm out here in Nevada. And I'll correct myself. My colleague in the legislature said, told me, remember, it's Nevada. It's not Nevada. So.
You say potato, right?
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know, in Boston, we have about 50 different accents, so mm-hmm. You'll have to forgive me. But I'm here today to come out to talk to folks about Mitt Romney's record in Massachusetts, because there's a lot of back and forth, and I feel it's important to come out and talk to folks and make myself available, because I had the opportunity to serve with Mitt Romney from 2003 to 2006. I actually was on the ballot with him back in 2002 when he first ran for governor, and I first ran for state representative of my district in the city of Boston.
Great. Okay, that's great information. So you served as a state representative under Mitt Romney, and you experienced his leadership firsthand. How do you feel about him running for our president?
You know, he's a. It's funny to hear and see now, and then think back to 2002, because a lot of what we've heard back then is a lot of what we're hearing now, but the product is where I have the problems with. He said he was going to do certain things relative to building the economy. He said he was going to do certain things relative to improving job growth in the state, improving the educational system, figuring out how he was going to make the children learn English, as he said when he was running for office at that time, because he was supporting the Ron Unz English Immersion Initiative, which was a ballot initiative back then. Mm-hmm. And not only that, the overall issue of how he went about running state government in terms of the budget and in terms of building, leaving debt on every Massachusetts resident. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of ads going on. Today I saw, you know, three back-to-back ads. Mm-hmm. And it's tough sometimes to see, you know, what you see in TV and actually try to discern from the truth. So I figured I'd make myself available and come out and travel to different states to talk about what actually happened during that time and my own experiences specifically, because it was an interesting time for us.
So getting it right from the horse's mouth, to say, mm-hmm. is really the best information you can get, because you were there.
I was there, and you know, yeah. it was a challenging time for us, not because of the overall economy, it was a difficult time, but again, here, you know, Mitt Romney talked about how he was going to use his business acumen to mm-hmm. Improve our condition, and we actually lost. We lost a significant number of jobs, and we lag significantly behind mm-hmm. the nation in terms of job growth. I mean, while the country was at that time that he was in office, the job rate was growing at about 7%. We were way lower. We were 47th out of 50 states during that time. So it was a difficult time, and particular sectors got really hard hurt. The manufacturing sector was really difficult mm-hmm. for us, because we lost over 40,000 jobs during that time. And I never really felt like he really got to know the population well enough, you know, and to be able to understand, you know, how things work with government and the citizens, which are supposed to govern. That's why I'm coming out, because I think I want to make myself available to people so that we can talk.
Yeah, that's great, Jeff. Well, one thing I want to talk a little bit about, which I wanted to mention in the beginning and I didn't, was a little bit about your background and tell us how you got involved in the state of Massachusetts.
I grew up in Boston during a difficult time. It was the 70s in Boston was a time where somewhat like the time when I took office, people were leaving the state. Industry wasn't doing very well. We knew that we had certain assets in the economy relative to education, finance, and manufacturing, and even agriculture. Mm-hmm. But all that started to change, and we lost a lot. We lost a lot of the blue collar jobs. Mm-hmm. And it was a difficult time. And I remember, you know, we grew up in a housing development in the middle of the city that essentially got abandoned by the city and by the city and by the state government and even the federal government, because it was a federal housing authority. So a lot of us had, you know, essentially lived in relative squalor because the government didn't want to repair the units. And my mother was an activist at the time, and she ended up suing the housing authority, and
wow.
Her work essentially changed the way housing authority laws throughout the country through one landmark case. So I had a strong person in my house that was very passionate. I myself didn't think that I ever wanted to get into politics, but I worked as an investment banker. I came out here. I stopped here in 89, and then I went to San Diego, during that same time. Mm-hmm. And I hustled out. I worked at a shelter for homeless kids. I worked at a bank. I found myself living in Tijuana at a $3 a night shelter because I couldn't find a job. I mean, it was a lot. And all those experiences essentially led me back home when I had the opportunity to go back to Boston. I mean, the weather out here is great. Mm-hmm. Out here in the West, but I don't know. There's something back that I missed at home. So
I don't blame you. I'm originally from Jersey, so I get it. But you know, I just want to say like that. You know, when you come up that way, and you are not privileged. Yeah. You know, a lot of us weren't out there, and we really understand how difficult it is to go out there and see these kids today who come out of college and don't have anywhere to go and no jobs out there for them. And you know, we want them to go to work, and we want them to find new careers, and it's exciting to have a president that really cares about the kids finding work. And
that's why it's important that we consider that everyone, all your listeners, considered to stick to President Obama, because you know through the past 27 months we've seen, you know, at least 4 million jobs growing. Mm-hmm. Things are on the mend. We know that our things aren't perfect, but we're all working together. I've seen significant improvements in my city through his leadership. You know, something that kind of took me aback to, you know, within the past couple of weeks is that, you know, the way of governance. You know, the Boston Globe wrote a piece today about how Governor Romney, you know, likes to govern based on his understanding of a balance sheet. But I don't think that's the way President Obama governs. He understands the plight of the average person. Mm-hmm. And I think that this election right now is going to boil down to that. It's going to be an election of principle. Do you believe in the trickle down mentality where, you know, you give tax breaks to the wealthy because it might drizzle down to the middle class and to the poor? Or do you try and invest in the middle class so that it's spread throughout?
Right.
So I think that that's the difference. That's the difference between these two men that are running.
Yes. And I'm a small business person. I've been a small business person in this state for a long time. And I must say that I am an advocate for small business. And I want to see other small businesses in my city make it. And I'm constantly supporting them in whatever way I can, with purchasing and sending clients there, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm really into that. Well, big time.
It's in Massachusetts during the time that Mitt Romney was in, you wouldn't have been happy because, you know, Mitt Romney said he wasn't going to raise taxes, but he raised fees.
Mm.
And come on, and you know, as a small business owner, you have the registration fees for your business. You have all these other fees that you have to do, your cost of doing business.
Yes.
He raised over 1,000 fees during that time. The burden on the average Massachusetts resident was about $1,200 a year.
Yeah, not great.
He didn't raise taxes, but he raised fees, which essentially hurts more people more profoundly because, especially, you know, if you make $100,000 a year and, you know, you're getting hit with $500 in fees throughout the year, it doesn't hurt you that much. But if you're making $17,000 a year, of which, you know, in my district, I have a high concentration. My district's weird. I have a concentration that has extreme wealth and extreme poverty.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the folks that live in, you know, in the housing developments in my community that are elderly and disabled that live on a really defined fixed income. And if you do anything, if we in government do anything to change that, it just throws them off. It means mm-hmm. they're not going to pay for, you know, they're not going to pay for albuterol for their asthma, or they're not mm-hmm. going to be able to pay for, you know, that extra, those, you know, that I'll say the extra bus ride to Target to buy a, you know, to buy a shirt or something. You know, it's
exactly
that's the difference.
That's not good. Well, this next question that we're going to talk about is, I have some personal experience with I have a teaching license in the state, and I was called twice last year to teach part-time interior design and gourmet cooking. Well, two times I was hired by the principal, and two times I was called not to come in because they had budget cuts. So I was quite disappointed because I love to teach. So this next question says, last week Romney said that we don't need any more teachers, firefighters, or police officers. What is your response to this?
This is where, remember I said about the principals? Mm-hmm. Remember what I said about the principals? Governor Romney doesn't think that we should invest in people. In people, meaning your teachers, your police, your firefighters, your construction workers, so they can build roads and bridges and repair the infrastructure of this country so that we can get people back to work, because we know that our infrastructure throughout the country is an aging infrastructure, and we have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for me, it shows the disconnect. It shows a real disconnect. When Governor Romney was in office, you know, he cut pre-kindergarten classes to the tune of about $2,000 per kid during that time. Remember, I mentioned to you about the issue of this this English immersion law that he had actively advocated to pass. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go with the flow, and you know, mm-hmm. I didn't like the idea because we had tried to do certain things to try and improve bilingual education in the state because we knew it was broken. So we tried to, the previous Republican governor passed something with support from the legislature to do something, but he didn't want to follow that. He wanted his own mark, and so he got this immersion law passed that essentially said, children will be assigned, no matter what language they speak, into one classroom with one teacher. Nobody can speak any other language except English in the classroom. And they have 1 year to teach the kids.
Mm.
So, between the teachers and the principals and the administrators, everybody, no, this is horrible, all of us, it's horrible, horrible. But I thought, okay, once it's in, let's see how it works. There was never any standard placed on those kids. The only standard that was placed was the high state test as the standard. And in that standard that was shown, 40% of the kids actually stayed in the classrooms after 3 years with a teacher that had never been trained and without the materials to be able to teach those kids.
Oh my goodness.
And at the same time, he was cutting classroom teachers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this businessman that said he was going to figure out how to grow business in the state mm-hmm. and how it was going to come back and to help the economy through the development of through the human development of the residents.
Right.
It didn't happen. It did not happen. To the contrary. And so that's why when I see the ads and I listen to them, you know, it motivates me to get on a plane. You know, I could be at home. I could be at home right now, you know, with my little girls, you know, taking them to the zoo or playing with them in mm-hmm. the park. But, you know, this calls me.
It's a passion, and you have to feel passionate about something to do something. And that's what we're all about, having a passion, which is great. I would like to say a couple of things before we go to break. We're broadcasting live on YouTube at Aspects of Writing. So to tune in, you go to youtube.com/ /user/ Aspects of Writing, and you can see it live on YouTube. So when, you know, if you can go there, that would be great. And we also have a couple of call-in numbers for Nevada. It's 731-1230. And for those of you calling from out of town, it's 866-820-5528. You people that are listening back. I get a lot of back east callers, though. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, we do. It's really fun. So we're going to go to break. You're listening to KLAV Talk Radio, Leslie Lovell. My show is called Home Sweet Home. We're with Andrea Chestnut, and we are with Representative Sanchez, and we are very excited to come back and talk to you some more.
Growing up in an interior design studio gave Leslie many unique experiences within the interior design industry. At her colorful father's side, she learned the industry through osmosis. She was having so much fun listening to her dad interact with his clients and following him to the wholesale furniture markets in New York City that she didn't realize she'd absorbed a world of information. After she graduated from design school, she was more than ready to begin a career in the industry. Growing up in the interior design field is what sets Leslie apart. She loves what she does and comes by her profession naturally. Let Leslie Lovell take you through the interior design process for your home or office. You will instantly feel at ease with her great taste, elegance, and ability to make you feel comfortable. Leslie shops in her design studio filled with great catalogs and fabrics, as well as the wholesale to the trade markets in Las Vegas and Los Angeles. A Las Vegas resident for over 25 years. Call Leslie at 702-242-2395 or email Leslie A. Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, at gmail.com or visit her website, towncenterdesign.com. That's Town Center Interior Design in Las Vegas, 702-242-2395. If you're a beginning student or if you're coming back to the piano to brush up on your skills, Linda Piana is the professional piano coach for you. If you want to play by ear or read music, whether you're a child, teen, or adult, Linda Piana will show you how to teach yourself to play.
Hi, I'm Linda Piana. I'd love to teach you the art of playing piano. All you need is a desire to play and time to practice your art. Please call me at 702-370-2377.
Learn the art of playing piano. Call Linda Piana at 702-370-2377. Welcome back to Home Sweet Home, brought to you by Town Center Interior Design. Visit them at towncenterdesign.com. Now, here again, your host, Leslie Lovell.
Hello and welcome back to Home Sweet Home. We are in the studio today with Representative Sanchez from the great state of Massachusetts, and we are talking about our new president coming in, President Obama, for his second term, and he's giving us some enlightening information. We are also broadcasting live on YouTube at Aspects of Writing, so if you want to tune in to watch, it's youtube.com/user/Aspects of Writing. And you'll see us live. And I wanted to just say we are KLAV Talk Radio. We have two call-in numbers. Las Vegas is 731-1230, and out of town is 866-820-5528. So we'd like to hear from you and maybe ask us a question that you'd like to know about. So we have a little article in front of us here, a quote from the Washington Post about the middle class would face higher taxes under Republican plan analysis finds. And I'd like our representative to please give us some enlightenment on that.
I mean, again, it just, for me, just this Washington Post article that was posted on the 19th of this yesterday, essentially, says that Governor Romney's plan would essentially, you know, create some pretty big loopholes, and not only that, will affect again the middle class dramatically. Mm-hmm. So again, it's imperative that we realize that. The trickle down philosophies of the 80s doesn't necessarily it turns into a fall cold drizzle for the rest of us. So again, it's it's a concern. I think that everybody should take a look at that Washington Post article by Laurie Montgomery, just to get an idea of what some of the independent thinkers are thinking.
Right. We do have a caller, Representative. Sure. Can we take it?
Yeah,
would you put your headset on, please?
Sure.
And see if you're working there. Are you plugged in? Okay. Yeah, we're ready for the question. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to ask the representative, has he been espousing some of these ideas on other talk shows, and has he done any TV shows? Because everything that he's saying I find to be quite credible, and people need to be educated as to what Mitt Romney really is all about, because really, the man has not been vetted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've been fortunate to have gone out to a number of states already. I've been to North Carolina, I've been to Iowa, I've been to Colorado, and now Nevada. And it's working with the campaign to be able to come to you to talk to you. And I appreciate you calling today, because a lot did go on during those 3 years that he was in office, Frank, because, you know, I was just commenting that, you know, the last year that Mitt Romney was in office in Massachusetts, he was absent for over 200 days. We did not see him. And when he was in the building, his executive office door was always closed, and he had a red velvet rope in front of the door that blocked off an elevator just for him. The man just is not accessible to the average citizen, and the average citizen needs to be understood and needs to be felt. There's a lot going on right now, and when I hear him espousing, you know, principles that he's with the average person, that's not what we saw in Massachusetts. He was completely disconnected from the individuals in Massachusetts. You know, he did certain things that he would eliminate things, and then when people would yell, then he'd put them back, and then he'd put, you know, the concepts back in, but then he wouldn't talk to anybody about how to improve. And I think that that's the thing. He moves arbitrarily, and he doesn't figure out a way how to build support with folks. And, you know, remember, the president, as well as the governors of all of our state, they propose, and we need a governor that's going to work with Congress to figure out how they're going to build jobs. You know, President Obama has had a jobs bill before Congress for a number of months now, and we're still waiting for it to take up. And those are the jobs that, you know, that we were talking about a minute ago, the teachers, the construction workers, the average middle class worker.
Well, I tell you, I do appreciate you coming in and enlightening people as to what we are in for if this man get in. So keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. Have a great day. Okay, I think we have one more question, sir. Can we take it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's take that question. It's from Harvey. Go ahead, Harvey.
Hi, Harvey.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, what is Romney's plan, if he has one, and do you know what it is that he talks about, what Obama hasn't done, but he hasn't said what he's going to do?
I just know that what he's done in the past, is essentially say that he's going to figure out how to support big business in a way and allow for big business to grow, because then we will feel it on the ground. But the way to do that is to let them conduct business the way that they should, large business. And if it means outsourcing business, it allows for that. His plan allows for outsourcing as well. You know, in Massachusetts, it was funny. He claimed that he was a job creator, but the same claim that he made when he ran with us, when he was at Bain, he shipped jobs off to China and to Mexico, and he did the same thing by outsourcing jobs, state jobs, to India. Our unemployment call center. He essentially hired Citigroup to act as the administrator, and Citigroup, as a part of their contract, outsourced an entire department of state workers out to India. That's the type of leadership that we'll see under Mitt Romney. And he said he wasn't going to, and at the time he said he wasn't going to, he did all this, and at the same time he said he wasn't going to increase the size of state government, and he did. His ideas left us with a $2.6 billion deficit. $2.6 billion debt on the state's credit card. And Not only that, you know, he's lately he's been taking credit for a rainy day fund that we had set up through the legislature, that he left it with $1 billion, you know, over $2 billion. It was actually as a result of the federal stimulus dollars, as well as something, a loophole that we closed in capital gains that allowed for that rainy day fund to be filled up. So yep. Again,
I understand what he hasn't done, but what is he going to do? Has he put out any platform issues or anything? I can understand he can't run on his record in Massachusetts, but what is he going to do? Other than just criticize. I mean, anybody can criticize, but what are you going
to
do?
Again, I'm waiting to hear it, so I'm hearing a wait as well. All I know is if you look at the ads, they're not even cited on how he's going to do it. He won't cite credible sources. So we'll see as the months go on. The only thing that I ask you is to maintain an open mind and an open heart to the candidate, you know, to President Obama, because again, there's sunshine down in the horizon, and I think that we have to stay focused, and we have to look towards figuring out how do we build ourselves up in our human capital, as opposed to just making bigger profits for larger corporations, which, you know, it's been an interesting discourse the past few months on corporations. You know, when Mitt Romney said corporations are people too.
What Bain has done in the past, and especially what they did with Kids R Us, toy company. I mean, there's a big indictment about that kind of strategy where they took over the company and put them out of business, but made $85 million in the process.
I mean, there's a few companies: Wholesome Burns, Modus Media. SMTC, you know, Holson, you know, when he, after Bain bought Holson Burns, they were one of the largest manufacturers, makers of photo albums and picture frames. It cut American jobs and outsourced production to Far Eastern countries like China and Taiwan and Thailand. Modus Media, while it was owned by Romney's firm, Modus closed its California plant but opened one up in Guadalajara, Mexico. Now, I love Mexico, but we need those jobs here in the United States. We need them in America.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and there's just example after example. You know, I was in North Carolina. When I was in North Carolina, it was interesting. I had somebody after one of the appearances that I had made who actually said, you know, it's interesting to hear Mitt Romney, because we had a guy that was in high finance as well, a senator from North Carolina, and he used to do leverage buyouts as well, but he figured out how to restructure debt. You know, restructure the debt of a company as opposed to buying it and slashing and burning. There's a way to do it, and there's a way to be thoughtful, and there's a way to keep American jobs.
Yes. Well, we need to take a break right now, go to commercial, but thank you for calling in, Harvey.
Thank you, Harvey.
Have a great day. We appreciate the call. And we're going to take a break right now. We're listening to KLAV Talk Radio with Representative from Massachusetts, Jeffrey Sanchez, and we're going to come back with Jeff in just a few minutes, so please hang in there. Thank you.
Leslie Lovell has been designing homes here in Las Vegas for many years. Leslie can design any style, from cowboy to contemporary. She has the vision to walk into a room and see it completed immediately as an artist looks at a blank canvas and instinctively knows the results. Call Leslie at 702-242-2395 Town Center Interior Design for a complimentary interior design consultation. That's Town Center Interior Design at 702-242-2395.
This is Leslie Lovell, host of Home Sweet Home. Listen to our show Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock Las Vegas time on KLAV Talk Radio. We'll be discussing interior design, fashion, cooking, your health, travel, outdoor living, and current events. We'll be hosting live guests from local Las Vegas businesses and entertainers. It's not just coffee talk.
Yeah.
You're listening to Home Sweet Home, hosted by Leslie Lovell and brought to you by Town Center Interior Design. Visit them at towncenterdesign.com. Home Sweet Home continues. Here again, Leslie Lovell.
Well, hello, we're back at KLAV Talk Radio. You're listening to Leslie Lovell at Home Sweet Home with Andrea Chestnut and our representative Sanchez from the great state of Mass. And we are talking about this upcoming election. And we are also broadcasting live on YouTube at Aspects of Writing. So go to youtube.com/user/aspects of writing to see us live. And also call in numbers 731-1230. And out-of-towners, 866-820-5528. So we have a couple more questions for you, Representative. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. As a Latino, you are obviously aware of the importance of the voting bloc in the presidential election. Why should Latinos support President Obama?
That's a mainstream question that everyone's asking right now. Why is Obama so ahead of the polls compared to Governor Romney? And I think it's because, again, he's investing directly in communities. He's investing the federal resources directly in communities that need it. If you look specifically with the Health Care Act and wherever side you're on, at the end of the day, there's more people now that are insured than ever. Not only that, now an insurance company can't say no because you had a heart attack or because you suffered a cancer or because they can't hold it against you for your pre-existing condition. That is a monumental accomplishment that President Obama has embarked upon and was able to get through. Not only that, for me specifically, in terms of the realm of education, the most recent work that he did around the Race to the Top funding that he put out in communities throughout the nation goes to where we have the greatest challenges in the system. When the No Child Left Behind Act was passed under President Bush, there was a lot of standards placed, but there were no resources placed. And then there was this thing called adequate yearly progress that every district had to define. And it took, it was interesting because the adequate yearly progress was defined 50 million different ways, to sundown. But it didn't go to where the greatest challenges were. And by making us in states think, how do we make sure that we raise the bar with those that we have the greatest challenges with so that we can feel it throughout the systems, was a really big deal. In my district alone, I had five schools that were turnaround schools. And what was phrased turnaround, and it was there were some difficult choices that were made. There were schools that were shut down. There were others that were consolidated. There were others that received infusions of work because they saw some infusion of money and resources so that they can build upon some of the good things that were happening as a result of further definition. So those are the things, two specific things that I'm real happy about. Also, in my own district, I felt that ARRA investments directly in my district. In my district, again, like I said before, I have my community. It's extreme wealth and extreme poverty, mm-hmm. and in the area that's really really poor. For about when Governor Romney was in office, we spent, I had started a planning process with community leaders for this particular area from 95 to around 2000, 2002. When Governor Romney came in office, he talked about a concept of taking advantage of transit-oriented development. In other words, build housing, jobs, and other things that can be based around a transportation node, like a train station or a bus station or something like that. Mm-hmm. We were ready to go in terms of getting some development, but we never saw. We got a few dollars to plan. But we never got the dollars in terms of actual investment so that we can build the jobs, so we get construction work folks out there. But on the other hand, we saw that he gave a tax break to his lieutenant governor's husband, who was a wealthy entrepreneur and invested in his company. That's the difference with Mitt Romney. He's going to focus where he feels comfortable with. If he feels comfortable with something, And with the people that he's with, he's going to do it. If he doesn't know you, he's not going to support you, because I didn't feel that in my own district. There was one thing that I can say that he did do. He helped me with one. He helped his administration did. He had one person that was disposed of state properties. We were going through a hard time again through that time with funding. And again, just not to be, throwing all these things out, because I feel like, I gotta say something positive as well. You know, he worked on us. We had a plan that he had to dispose of state-owned property, because there's a sense that state government shouldn't be in the real estate business, that mm-hmm. the state shouldn't be owning property that they're not using. So. There's a property in my district that that had been sitting on for a long time, and there was one person in the administration that made it their mission to figure out how to make sure that those folks were able to stay there while at the same time taking advantage of a development opportunity.
Sure.
Ironically, the property still hadn't been developed because it was so complicated. But at least he found the home for the organization. So that's the one thing that he did. But in terms of all the other things, the jobs and the growth and where he actually made his investments, we didn't see it.
Yes, it seems like to us out there, and I won't say anyone's average, because I think every American is special in my mind. But it seems like particular candidates are buying their way into the White House or trying to buy their way into the White House, and this aggravates us watching TV every day. We're just fuming because we are not, we're not all relating to the same thing here. So, how do we deal with that and cope with that?
Like everything, I think people, sometimes it's just going that, just that extra step, trying to figure out that question that you feel passionate about,
right.
What is it that one thing?
Right.
And then listen to the arguments and listen to a few of the arguments that can give you the substance to answering that question. Not only that, look at the track record, look at the actual individual.
Right.
And that's what I look at when I'm thinking of, the support that I want to put behind President Obama. I feel that I need to put my support fully behind him, because again, I see the investment that where his investments are being placed. I see the effects that they're having with the average American, the average person that's just trying to make it on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
And again, when Mitt Romney was in office, I didn't feel that. I felt the disconnect. I felt the door closed. I felt, mm-hmm. A relative cynicism when you try to get next to him, because he never really had anything to say to you. So it was always kind of a weird remark that he'd say to you. It was an uncomfortable, encounter. And
exactly.
The times that he did bring us together, in Massachusetts, we had executive orders around affirmative action. And again, I don't know where anybody stands on it, but again, just as an example, one day he abolished affirmative action executive orders. And then the African American community and other communities got upset because the executive orders dealt with things like, finding opportunities for disabled folks, and African American folks, and figuring out how should the state be responsive to minority women business enterprise to bring more folks into the procurement process and other processes. He essentially, through one swipe of the pen, abolished all those executive orders, and then when the community got upset, he said, "Okay, let's bring everybody together to talk about this." We met for God knows how many months. We went through all these executive orders that had been passed through the ages, because they'd been around forever. And we came up with a set of recommendations, and then we never heard from him again.
Wow.
And we actually never saw him, because he never sat down with us to talk about what he was asking us to do.
Right.
Even if it would have been nice for him to say, I would have appreciated him saying, "Look, I don't believe in this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it."
Mm-hmm.
But then to essentially make everybody work and then abandon it, and then just, one quiet day, put them back into place while nobody was looking, it shows a disingenuous nature, and I didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, is there something you'd like to say in closing? Because I know you've got a tight schedule. And
nothing that I appreciate all of you here taking the time to listen to me and to engage me on this, and I appreciate the callers that have called. And I hope that throughout the next few months, you know, don't try and make sure to put it all into context when you're watching TV and the radio and all that, because I know we can all get very passionate. We can get very upset at the things that we hear.
Yes.
Put it into context one day at a time. And it, you know, and I hope and know that the President Obama will come out as victor. But again, I will say that the hard work of the average American should be recognized and is being recognized through President Obama's policy. So I hope everyone supports the president as we go forward.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for coming
thank
today.
You.
We really appreciate having you. Too bad you're not a Nevada resident, because we like having you around.
No, please. So, yeah. I enjoy the experience with you.
Great.
Great. Thank you.
So if you
thank
come
you
back
so
again,
much.
We'll have to find out, and we can always do another show before the election.
Without saying. And maybe I could share recipes or some ideas.
Yay! We'll make a sauce. We'll bring it in. That sounds like fun. Okay, thank you. Well, we're going to thank our Massachusetts State Rep, Jeffrey Sanchez, for coming in today and spending his extremely valuable time. We have so many things to do to get to this election this year. So we're going to take another break. We are at KLV Talk Radio, 12:30 a.m. on your dial, and we will be right back with Home Sweet Home. Thank you for listening.
If you're a beginning student, or if you're coming back to the piano to brush up on your skills, Linda Piana is the professional piano coach for you. If you want to play by ear or read music, whether you're a child, teen, or adult, Linda Piana will show you how to teach yourself to play.
Hi, I'm Linda Piana. I'd love to teach you the art of playing piano. All you need is a desire to play and time to practice your art. Please call me at 702-370-2377.
Learn the art of playing piano. Call Linda Piana at 702-370-2377. Growing up in an interior design studio gave Leslie many unique experiences within the interior design industry. At her colorful father's side, she learned the industry through osmosis. She was having so much fun listening to her dad interact with his clients and following him to the wholesale furniture markets in New York City that she didn't realize she'd absorbed a world of information. After she graduated from design school, she was more than ready to begin a career in the industry. Growing up in the interior design field is what sets Leslie apart. She loves what she does and comes by her profession naturally. Let Leslie Lovell take you through the interior design process for your home or office. You will instantly feel at ease with her great taste, elegance, and ability to make you feel comfortable. Leslie shops in her design studio filled with great catalogs and fabrics, as well as the wholesale to the trade markets in Las Vegas and Los Angeles. A Las Vegas resident for over 25 years. Call Leslie at 702-242-2395 or email Leslie A. Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, at gmail.com or visit her website, towncenterdesign.com. That's Town Center Interior Design in Las Vegas, 702-242-2395. Home is where the heart is. And this is Home Sweet Home, brought to you by Town Center Interior Design. Visit them at towncenterdesign.com. Now, here again, your host, Leslie Lovell.
Hi, we're back with Home Sweet Home, and I'm your host, Leslie Lovell. I'm sitting here with Andrea Chestnut, and I'm sorry, Andrea, we didn't get to talk to you too much up until now, but hi.
Hi there.
Hi. You're always so supportive. But I wanted her by my side today because I thought it was a great opportunity for both of us to meet with Representative Sanchez. He's a pretty influential guy in the state of Massachusetts. His territory is mostly Boston, which is a pretty big city, so he's got a lot going on there. But I want to thank him again. He's a lovely man, and his personality is just so glowing when you're sitting here with him. I'd like to say that we're going to be presenting both Republican and Democratic guests on our show. So I did absolutely contact the Romney camp, and I hope to be hearing from them soon with a guest. So we really need to give both sides a chance to talk about their platforms and what they plan to do for American people and the public in the future. But I want to say something. Last night I was thinking about something I hear on television all the time, and it's called the, quote, quote, average American. And I think that ticks me off. And I want to tell you why, because I don't know what average means. And maybe somebody should call in and tell me what that means. Does it mean you walk and talk and you have two eyes instead of three, like one in the middle of your head? I don't know. So somebody call me up and say what average means, because lots of newscasters use this term. And a lot of folks around the country are not average. Almost all of us have, you know, all of us have a special talent or a special thing that we do. Maybe we bake great, or maybe we are community leaders, or, you know, we have careers and jobs and families and church work and a million things going on in our lives. And every American's special in their own way. So hopefully,
well, you know, Leslie, yeah. What I find about that is we're all individuals until it comes time for us to look at and think about who we're going to be putting into office. And then we get lumped into one group or another. So, yes, I'd really like to know, what is average? Yeah. Who are we talking about, the average American?
What does that mean?
Yeah. Strange. It really
is strange.
And I
hate the term, because I just don't want to be lumped into a group. I'm not a group of anything. I'm an individual, and I feel everyone in this studio today is, and everyone out there on the road driving has something special to offer our community and our lives. And why should we group people in that kind of a...
Oh, that's the exciting thing about hearing from the different camps on what, how, why, getting people outside of their boxes. Getting people outside of the thought process of I have to be Democratic or I have to be Republican. You don't have to be anything. What you have to do is take an observation point, look at who's there, look at the issues, and think it through. Be an individual.
That's right. And that's so important. And, you know, I think when we teach our children, too, in schools, is always teach them to be a leader, not a follower. Because, you know, leaders get a lot of work done. I was always a leader as a kid. Obviously, I'm doing talk radio now, and I'm sure you were, because you're pretty going on girl. I mean, you got a lot going on. And, you know, for kids to follow things that aren't wonderful out there today is a very scary thing. And why do we don't need followers. We need leaders, people who will get up and make a difference and change the community and change things for the better for our lives. I think if everybody would just get up off the couch and do something about what they talk about all the time, we'd be living in a lot better place.
Well, starting out being a leadership of one.
Right.
Lead yourself. Lead yourself in individual thinking and individual decision making.
Right.
Don't be part of the crowd. Check it out for yourself.
Remember when your mother used to say, if everybody jumped off the bridge, would you jump too?
Well, yes.
You know, every mom, I think almost every mom in the world said that. If everybody jumps in the Hudson River, well, I was back east. Are you going to go? I'd say, because I don't even really know what she was talking about.
Me either, but I knew I didn't want to do it.
I know. No, the Hudson River,
had
I don't
to be a
think
bad
so.
Thing.
Yeah, it's kind of dirty in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're a kid. You don't really get it until you get older and you say, wow, she was right. You know, if anything's going to happen in this world, it has to take a strong person. And Representative Sanchez is a perfect example of that, saying about his mom,
yes,
who was a community leader,
yes,
and got out there, and he said, hey, you know what, I really didn't want to be in politics, but I was an investment banker, but guess what, my mother set an example that showed me that I should go out there and make a difference. And I think that's awesome. You know, don't you feel that way?
That's really the starting place, and I believe very clearly that all these lessons do start in the home, and
yes,
it's with the education system we have here in Nevada, which really could use an overhaul, by the way.
Right.
Oftentimes, we find that children aren't finishing school. Children aren't looking at advantages because they don't know that they can or should or could have the advantage that others have. But advantages are things that are oftentimes created for ourselves.
Exactly.
They're not just given to any of us.
Exactly.
And once again, going back to this being an election year, get the information, mm-hmm, read, listen, make your own decisions. There's a lot of information out there, but it's up to you as the individual to disseminate what's really going to make a change.
And get real answers.
You know, like real answers.
We had a caller that called in today and said, well, what's this platform? I still don't know, you know. So if you don't know, you need to contact the Romney camp and say, hey, send me something that says this is what Romney's plan is. This is what his strategy is once he gets into office. And these are the people he's going to surround himself with to accomplish the following things. And, you know, if he's a person that is in a blue-collar job or a white-collar job, he wants to know where his job is going. You know, he wants to know what the future is for his profession and his walk of life. And this is very important.
Well, you know, the show is called Home Sweet Home.
Right.
And all of these issues affect our homes and affect the sanctuary of our homes.
Yes.
So get out there, get the information, and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Vote, vote, vote. You do count.
You do make a difference, absolutely. Well, on a lighter note, I found a lot of cool stuff. We only have a few minutes left for the show today, but I'm really glad we took it up with some very informative information, and that's part of what we want to do with our show. We try to get you as much information about, you know, living in your home and living in your community that you can possibly get. And we really are an uplifting show. We like to talk about things that make you happy, put a smile on your face, and, you know, make you feel good about your life, because there's a lot of stuff out there that gets in the way and noise, you know, of you not enjoying your life and smelling the roses and the coffee as you go along. And I really sound a little bit like Pollyanna, but I really feel that way. I think we need the beauty in our lives to make it great. I mean, to smell that flower, don't you think, Andrea?
Oh, certainly, certainly.
We really do. Well, picnic time is coming up, and I found a couple of things that I'm going to kind of skip to. There was one, this is really cute, I want to show you, in First Magazine. I love First because it's really informative, and it's always on the newsstand. And this is the July 9th, 2012 issue, so we're coming up on July 4th. And what they did, this is like right up your alley, girl. They carved out the interior of a watermelon. So cute. And they filled it with ice, and then they put soda bottles or water bottles in it, whatever, for, you know, your table. So you could carve out a couple of, get a big strong guy to help you, of course, and cut the watermelon and scoop it out. And this is just so darling on your dinner table if you're having a picnic outside. Maybe not outside in Nevada, but inside with the watermelon and the ice. It's really, really cool. So,
well, the big thing with that is making sure that the bottom's flat.
Yes. We have
so
to
it doesn't
it
topple over, and put it on a plate, put it on something so it doesn't leak through.
Roll off the table.
Yes.
That wouldn't be pretty.
Yes.
I know. And they had another thing about roses and lemons in a bouquet, which I thought was really interesting. I had never seen this done before, but it's beautiful yellow roses with yellow lemons. And what a refreshing, beautiful centerpiece to add to your table.
Well, you know, if you don't have anything else around the house, you can always grab either a skewer, the bamboo skewers that you might have. In a pinch, you can even use some wooden chopsticks and use that to stick in the lemons to help them stand up. But you want to put some, you want to put some oases or something in there to hold the water, to hold everything together. And it's just beautiful. It's very refreshing.
Isn't it pretty?
And yellow's always a happy, happy color.
Yeah, it really makes you feel like summer. And wasn't today, is today the first day of summer? Was it? Is it the 22nd? Okay, we're really there. I mean, we're almost there. Maybe Irma could look it up on 2 days. Yeah, we are there. And we've been having in Nevada, we've been having some really hot weather already in southern Nevada. I mean, we got it early this year. We had a beautiful May, but June, yikes. I mean, it's really getting hot fast.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
I know. The other thing I saw in an article on was, this is the coolest thing. If you've ever seen those soft cooler bags instead of the hard igloo ones?
Okay. Yes.
Well, they said to get one of those and freeze a bunch of water bottles that you drink out of, the small ones, and put them in there, and then put your sandwiches in there. So it's kind of doing double duty.
Double duty.
Isn't that great?
Now, you'll get a little bit of controversy on that, so check it out for yourself and make your own decisions, because some people say that freezing plastic water bottles is not the healthiest thing in the world to do for us.
Oh, really?
But check it out and see.
Okay, we'll do
There's
that.
There's a lot of information
Maybe
on the internet
Maybe we could put water
that.
In glass bottles and do it.
No, we're not going to do that because glass bottles break.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Not near water and the kids, right? Uh-oh. Well, anyway, we want to thank everybody for listening today. We had a wonderful show. Thank you to the callers. And we are so proud to have these important gentlemen on the show that can enlighten us about our future. So you are listening to Leslie Lovell and Andrea Chestnut at KLAV Talk Radio, AM 1230 on your dial. And we are home, sweet home. And we love being with you. So please tune in next week, Wednesday at 11 a.m. And we will see you soon. Have a great week, everybody.
So long.